tradition and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back, and it's great to have all of you here. Final hour. Michael Bratton joined us earlier, and Michael, I want to make sure you're still there. Larry will be here.
Yeah, I got you, Paul.
Okay, can we go over, you said a lot of things, a lot of really interesting things, but let's concentrate on Alabama, a program that you wrote off a couple weeks ago in relation to, I think you called it a decaying program under Nick Saban.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul, and the fact that they beat the two poor Mississippi schools has not changed my mind one bit, and I think they lose by multiple touchdowns this weekend at Texas A&M.
Okay, let me bring in Larry now. If I can get him. Larry, are you heard that from the brat?
Yeah, the brat. Boy, what you doing? Boy, getting up and make a fool out of yourself. Are you, come on. Are you serious? Tell me.
Absolutely. You know? Get ready for the second loss of the season, Larry.
Wait a minute. Now, you said we beat the two Mississippi teams. Didn't one of them whoop y'all's ass? Hey, wait a minute. Come on,
LSU. They didn't beat me. No, they didn't.
LSU, that's what I'm saying. LSU, Brett. You got a coach that's just going for a buyout. He wants to get him 8 million like the one that can't speak. Remember him? And that's all he's going for is a buyout.
He that was impressive. I'm not going to lie. Beating Ole Miss. What a mighty program that is, you know?
Hey.
Larry, if you don't mind me telling you, if I'm scoring the fight right now, you're pretty far behind.
Well, I ain't heard nothing he said. What did he say?
Well, I mean, since when does Alabama count wins against Ole Miss as some accomplishment? I mean, my goodness, what are we doing here, Larry?
Well,
you're saying the program's not
in
decay. That's about as proven a decay right there.
Brett. Are you okay, man? Are you on drugs?
Larry, give me a second. I need to ask Brad something. And Brad, maybe I'm too close to the sun here, I see a lot of improvement from Alabama, and you know, I mean, I think I could make a case that they could win it all right now.
Yeah.
In the Sun Belt, maybe? Is that what you're talking about, Paul, or are you talking about the SEC, where if they were lucky enough to get to Atlanta to face Georgia, they'd probably lose by 4 touchdowns. They're going to get beat on Saturday by 2 touchdowns by a Texas A&M team led by Jimbo Fisher.
Larry, are you going to let this guy get away with that?
Brett, can I talk? You keep overriding me. We beat Ole Miss, who beat y'all's ass. Now, explain that. If Ole Miss is so bad, why do they beat y'all?
Well, as bad as Ole Miss is, I think LSU's defense is even worse. So I'll give you that, Larry.
When did you become y'all? I didn't know you were part of the LSU program.
I'm on the payroll down there in Baton Rouge, Paul. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
He's been pumping them up. He's been saying they're going to win the West. Brett, you need to get you another occupation. Now, listen, I need somebody to cut my yard up here on the river, and I don't mind helping you out a little money. Because you ain't going to make a living the hell what you doing. I mean, that's the way, boy.
Larry just landed a pretty good shot there.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Larry. But I think if you hired me to mow your lawn, I think you're making a big mistake. That would not be the best lawn in the neighborhood. I promise you that.
You screw that up as bad as you screwing this up. I'll tell you something. Let me and you get together on the show, and I've got a zapper that I got in police department. I still got it. And every time you lie, I zap you with it. You can use it with your girlfriend, too, if you're zapping the ass. But, hey, check this out.
Larry, why are you still in possession of a zapper?
Because I can be. No. And I would like to get on the show to zap his ass 2 or 3, 4 times.
We can arrange a meeting with you and the brat.
I'll tell you what, Paul. Can Larry bring that zapper down to College Station? Because I think he's going to need to zap Tommy Rees into making a few good play calls. It would be the first time this year that he made one.
Hey, Brad, quit trying to make us your victim when your team is the victim. Well, who do you really pull for? I don't even know.
I'm a Tennessee graduate, Larry.
Oh, Tennessee. I didn't even know that. You got another bum team. Damn, boy, you just ain't very good. I wouldn't take your ass to the dog track.
Hey, Larry, okay, I'm going to jump in here just for the sake of sanity and the audience, for that matter. We'll revisit this a couple weeks from now, maybe in Tuscaloosa when Tennessee.
Brad, you in?
Hey, I'll be there.
All right, baby, bring my beer.
Okay, Larry, hold my beer. Thanks, Larry. Well, Brad, thank you very much, as always. Brad and Larry.
Hold down time yet.
Okay, a new part of the Feinbaum show is great entertainment. You wonder why they're thinking about ending this show at the end of the week. Let's get back to the call. Whoa. That was wild. Ricky is up next in Mississippi.
Boy, you're killing me, Paul. You're killing me. Man, that was great, man. That was great. I like Stinch analysis on the Alabama and the Texas A&M game. I've been kind of interested in that myself because I think that, you know, with Texas A&M, they secondary is not as good as Alabama's secondary.
No.
And I think that's where that's where Miro can kind of expose that a little bit if they can protect them. Now on the other side,
I think it's going to be tough to pass on Alabama.
Yeah, that's the other side I was thinking about. I mean, because if Alabama can get some pressure on them. How those wide receivers gonna get open? You know, and they can knock down some passes. That secondary is pretty good. You know, that's Nick Saban's wheelhouse, man. You know, I think it's gonna be an interesting game. I think it's gonna be kind of a toss up myself because that front seven of Texas A&M, I think they are pretty good, man. You know, because they rotate. Like Alabama does, they're probably 8 or 9 deep, you know. So I that's gonna be kind of like a wash. I don't know I really couldn't pick them, man. I think it's gonna be a great game though. And as far as the fans goes with Alabama and LSU and Georgia, you know those guys, they used to national championships, and I kind of liken it to a drug addict, man. Once you get that first hit, man, you chasing that dragon, and they'll say anything to try to, they put a thin skin, so they'll say anything to boost the team. And I heard your buddy yesterday on the oil rig, he went straight mad, didn't he?
Oh, Dwayne, he needs to go out to that rig until the end of the season. Hey, Ricky, thank you, and don't lose that number. Big John is up next. Good afternoon.
Brother Paul, how are you doing, sir?
Ricky, Big John, we're doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm a first-time caller, so thank you for allowing me to share my opinion, and that's all it is. And I do have a little nugget for you, but first of all, let me just say, Sam Pittman, he's a good guy, but I think he made a bad decision in January. And two words come to mind is Dan Enos. Well, first of all, our line is horrible. But the biggest thing here is KJ Jefferson, he's better at running and throwing the ball. And his pro style has got us all messed up. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if he don't get his act together, we're going to be packing up that jukebox. And we're going to be getting him out of Fayetteville. And I'm going to tell you right now, it wouldn't surprise me. You might think I'm a crazy man, Paul. But I'm going to tell you right now, Houston Nutt, he did just buy a house in Fayetteville. And you don't think anything crossed our mind about 3 times? You'd be crazy, Paul.
Call me crazy.
Well, Paul, my question is this. Do you think that it made a smart decision for him to hire Dan Enos, where he should have probably hired an RPO-style coach?
Well, I mean, Dan Enos has a pretty good reputation. He was Nick Saban's offensive coordinator. He's been in Miami. He's been a lot of places. So it wasn't like going out on a limb and bringing him in. He's been around.
Well, let me just tell you this, Paul. I know you don't know me, and I watch your show quite often, but I'll tell you this. I'm telling you this. If he goes down and they lose to Ole Miss and they lose one more game, he's going to be packing up that jukebox. And I'll tell you this, Paul, and I'll leave it at this. If I tell you tomorrow's Easter, you better hide your ex tonight.
Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate your call very, very much. I mean, I don't know what the temperature is in Fayetteville, but I don't believe Houston Nutt is going to come riding in on the back of a pickup truck. Thanks for the call. Let's continue. And Derek is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Derek.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Houston and West Virginia are playing 2 Thursdays from now. I have a question for you. Who's got the hotter seat, Neil Brown or Dana Holgorsen?
Well, I think they're both pretty hot. what Houston did? Neil Brown just won a pretty big game, so I'm not sure he is... He's in as much trouble as maybe you think. I mean, I think the vagaries of the season, I mean, Neil Brown's been in trouble for a while, but somehow he keeps surviving.
Yes.
Thanks for the call. I mean, I wish I could tell you I knew the answer, but I don't. I follow college football, but I'm not an expert on the temperature in West Virginia right now. Davis is in Wisconsin. Hey, Davis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. T/D, Father, I have the Red River rivalry recorded. Should I delete it or get my chips and salsa ready?
Well, I can't wait. My chips and salsa are bought for that game.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. A lot of salsa talk tonight. One thing we will do is take a break. We need it after the phoner feud between the Brat and the Bud Man. We'll take a break. Your phone call is around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Dustin is up next in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin.
Hello, Paul. How are you today, brother?
We are doing great.
Well, I wish you could say the same for all of us Arkansas fans. Man, we are hurting. I heard that guy that called just a little bit ago, talking about Houston Nutt coming back. I think that's beyond a pipe dream. I don't think Houston Nutt would want to come back. I don't think the university would have him back. I don't think he's the answer. I don't think getting rid of Sam Pittman, at least not right now, is the answer. I'm loyal to the man, and I like him an awful lot. I think he's a player's coach. But I do question the choice to bring in Dan Enos. I mean, you bring in a guy and give him weapons like KJ and Rocket Sanders, it's like handing a guy a Ferrari in a lot of respects, and he just keeps putting in the ditch week after week. I mean, I understand it's a different style offense, and they had time to learn it, but the offense doesn't play to their strengths, especially not KJ's. And I think it was Bear Bryant who, you know, said, I wouldn't have asked, you know, Stabler or Namath to run the wishbone. He said, we bring in a system that fits our quarterback. I just don't understand what they're trying to do, they meaning Dan Enos specifically. I mean, it's infuriating to have that quarterback and see him line him up in the shotgun on 4th-and-1 over and over and over. And I'm not saying that I think that they should be 5-0 or they could be 5-0, but I damn sure don't think they should be 2-3, and I think that it comes back to Enos. And I know you said he's been a great coordinator. He's been here. He's been there.
I just said he's been a lot of places.
Well, right. He's been a lot of places. But my thinking is, hell, if he was still if
he
was that good.
I mean, he was also the offensive coordinator at Alabama when they lost by 28 to Clemson and was gone the next day.
Exactly. I mean, if he was that good, he would still be at Bama or he'd be somewhere else. It's just I don't think he was the answer. I didn't like him when he was here the first time, because I felt like he'd get up on people and then he'd let his foot off the gas in the second half. And I tried to be really optimistic about it, and I trust Sam Pittman. I like Sam Pittman, but I just don't think Enos was the hire.
Dustin, and I, you know how I feel about Pittman, but, you know, this is now a two-year slide, and You know, we're talking about 2-3. That could be 2-5 in about 10 days.
Yeah, make no mistake, we're in trouble. And I don't want to just...
I mean, I believe this Ole Miss game is about as close to a must-win as he has had.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm not giving up on Sam Pittman. I'm not calling for his head.
I'm just speaking the truth.
Right. But a lot of fans are. And I don't think those fans are... I don't like those kind of fans anyway. But I just don't think he knows.
Let me pull the shades up here from your fandom. Sam Pittman is starting to enter a dangerous phase, and that's why you're hearing this conversation. And when you get an Ole Miss game, you're playing an Ole Miss team that's sky high. I think that's an opportunity. You're getting Alabama at a good time after a tough stretch, but you have to win one of these two games, or this conversation at DEF CON 5 is going to hit two or three.
Yeah, I agree with you. It could get real ugly real fast, and for Sam's sake, because I like him a lot, I hope it doesn't. But anyway, thank you, Paul. I hope you guys have a great afternoon.
We will. Thanks for the call. Cat Daddy knows all about losing. Good afternoon, Cat Daddy.
You got me again, Big Paul. Looking good, sounding good as always. I want you to open up your crystal ball, and I want you to name five teams you know are over with for the year. And if you mention Clemson first, it won't bother me at all. And then I want you to mention the five teams you think have an opportunity to be national champs.
Well, my number one team that it's over is the University of Clemson.
Thank you.
My number two is the University of Clemson. They were the first team to be eliminated this year, and they did it to themselves.
Yes, sir, they sure was.
They're long gone, and Dabo can spin all those yarns about what ifs and maybes and coulda, shouldas, but they were expected to have a really big year. I kept being told by Dabo's people how talented they were, and they weren't.
Well, you got that right. Now, tell me the teams you think are in the hunt for the national championship, and, if I might add, is Ole Miss one of them?
I still believe in Georgia, and I know it's been a rough couple of days for them, but I think Georgia is still in a position. I think Ohio State's in a good spot right now. Florida State, Texas, I'm giving you a couple of I think if Alabama can get out of College Station, I think they're still alive.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for your wisdom, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey, one more time, Cat Daddy. The five teams that are already eliminated from the national championship, let me give them to you in order, 5-1, okay?
I'm ready.
Clemson 5, Clemson 4, Clemson 3, Clemson 2, and Clemson 1.
I love you, Mr. Feinbaum. Y'all have a great night.
Until Clemson Tom, I said that. Good afternoon. Miss Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. Oh, I love Cat Daddy. But, you know, Larry is pretty precious. But I wanted to say we almost did it Saturday.
Yeah, we almost did. Awesome. I was proud of Auburn. I thought it was back to the future.
I know. I was at a wedding, my niece's wedding, and her wedding started at 5:30 Central Time, and I was getting updates on my phone, and my cousin Keith was sitting next to me, and every time it would vibrate. But when that last pass was intercepted, I knew
Pat,
it was
let me ask you this, and I had a good friend of mine that did the same thing to me, and I had to leave a football game and go to his wedding. But how does somebody get married in the South on a football Saturday?
Well, I will tell you, this is my brother's only daughter, and she went to Alabama, and that just says all it needs to say.
Right.
Because they weren't playing then, and my brother was Auburn all the way. But anyway, she did, and I had to go. But I was wondering, what if they win, and are my cousin and I just going to jump up or what? But it was exciting.
Ms. Pat, when I first started, we'd be at the newspaper late at night, and the most frequent call we would get in the off season, hey, Can you look up? Because back then you didn't have the schedules on the internet because there was no such thing. Mm-hmm. The question was always, hey, my daughter's thinking about getting married on September 19th. Who's playing that day? I mean, it was like every night call came in.
I know. But anyway, it was close. And anyway, I just loved hearing Larry and Brett.
Well, that's great.
That was
Pat.
Fun.
I'll never forget. It was like in the, when was this? Maybe late 80s, early 90s. A guy I worked with at the newspaper got married on the third Saturday in October. And I think I was in the wedding. I literally had to leave the press box the second the game ended, race over to this church and go to his wedding. At least he was smart enough to put it at 6 o'clock when the game was over, but it was fairly annoying. I know I'm saying that 30 years late, but it was still pretty annoying. Still upset with the guy. Handsome Joe, you would never get married on the day of the Alabama-Tennessee game, would you?
No, absolutely not, Paul. There's no way I'd get married on that day. In fact, my last marriage, of course, that's been a few years ago. I did get married on a game day. But
which game was it?
Playing like Southern Miss. It wasn't big game.
One of the automatic W's.
Right. And plus, I had a little Walkman in my pocket and an earpiece in my ear, so I was listening to it. So I mean,
No, Joe, slow down. Alabama's playing Southern Miss, and you're getting married, and you're listening to the game.
Yeah, I was, Paul. She's walking down the aisle. Alabama just scored a touchdown, and you know, I was already, you know. But yeah, I couldn't miss it, Paul. I mean, it was nobody we was playing.
Now,
what year was this?
Because Alabama lost to Southern Miss a couple of times.
Well, we won that time, Paul. Okay. This was like in 95. So,
okay, because I remember
let me
I
see.
Covered,
yeah, 95.
82, Alabama lost to Southern Miss at home in Bear Bryant's last home game at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And then Brett Favre beat Alabama a couple years later.
I know, Paul. I hate you even reminding me of that one. But yeah, I remember that one very clearly, Paul.
You're at the altar, and do you have an earphone in or what?
Yeah, well, the wedding was outside. Wedding. So you know, until the ceremony started, we had the game on outside stereo system, so you know everybody could listen to it. And then, of course, they had to cut it off to, you know, to start the ceremony.
Is this your, maybe this isn't the right, what was your question, Randy? Which wedding? Which marriage? Was this your first marriage?
Second. I've been married twice, Paul. This was my second one.
So your second, fortunately, I've only been married once, but I would imagine if the first marriage did not work out right, you can help me with this, Randy. And then you get married again. You say to yourself, I am not going to make the same mistakes, right? And one of those mistakes, I'm going to pay attention to my bride as opposed to Alabama football.
Well, the second one lasted longer than the first, and the second one lasted 5 years. So, we divorced in 2000. So, I mean, that's been.
Was she Bama?
Oh, yeah, all the way, through and through, Bama. Yep.
So, but her
dog was named Bama. So, hey.
How close to the altar were you listening to the game?
I was right there at it. You know what I mean? Me and the preacher and my brothers, we was all talking about the game. I mean, we're all Alabama fans. So it just it's weddings in Alabama. That's just how it goes.
I understand. I lived there a couple of years.
Right, but that phone review with Brett and Larry, I thought Larry made some good points, but
what I got out of it? The zapper.
Yeah, the zapper. That was, I've never had a zapper.
That's a police tool that will zap your eyeballs out. And Larry's going to zap Brett the next time he sees him. Joe, we're up against the break. We must go. We are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
back here as the show beginning to wind down. AJ is in Pell City, Alabama.
My, my, what a monumental Tuesday, Paul. Absolutely. You got McCarthy's out. He's been ousted. Speaker hadn't been ousted since 1910. The year Larry was born. And Larry gets pimp slap after pimp slap after pimp slap, Paul. That was sad, Larry. I started to get in my boat, Paul, and drive down there and at least put some Vaseline over his eyes in that second round, but it never made it.
Is that what you're saying, AJ? Brad handled him okay?
Oh, he Mike Tysoned him. He put the Mike Tyson on. You remember when we used to pay like $400 to watch HBO and watch Mike Tyson fight for 22 seconds?
Yeah, sometimes shorter.
That was about like that. Everybody would pull together and throw in $20 and go over there. And by, before you even freaking had the hot wings done, it was over. I mean, Larry, that was bad. I mean, son, I mean, come on, Larry. Step it up. You got zapped, Larry. That was bad. Hey, Paul, let me ask you this, though. Speaking of monumental Tuesday, did that guy that called in earlier say Mark Stoops is going to be the one to turn down the Alabama job?
That's what he said.
Let me get your take on that, honestly, now that he's not on the phone and he can't track you down. What the literal hell?
Yeah,
Mark Stoops, if Alabama stoops to that level, no, that'll never happen. I mean, that's the most asinine comment I've ever heard in my entire life. That's worse than me waking up one morning and opening up the Birmingham Post-Herald and seeing Brian Harsons as our coach.
Well, I don't know.
I'm like, who? It's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, Paul. But I'll tell you, Desperation Dustin that called in a while ago, Paul?
That was Dustin, yes.
It was Sam Pittman. Then it was KJ's made in a lab. He was made in a lab. They put him in a Ziploc baggie and dropped him off at the ballpark. Desperation Dustin, I'm glad you called in. That's a great thing. Y'all been dead. You always going to be dead. You're roadkill. Arkansas's roadkill, Paul, and it always will be. So we'll just get that out of the way, but I'm going to give you something. I love you, Paul. War damn Eagle.
Joe in Houston is up next.
Hey, Paul, just a minute. I'm trying to turn the volume down on my
time. We're
TV.
Here. We're not going
anywhere. I was listening to AJ. How is Saban going to feel when he loses to an unranked team?
Pretty badly, if that happens.
I mean, the guys that do the rankings must not be watching I can't remember the two guys' names. Cole Kublik and Roman Harper. I just don't get it. Why do we tolerate that? Why do we have egg sucking newspaper reporters who don't play the game? Why do we use those rankings? I mean, it just bothers.
There are two set of rankings. There are the coaching ranking, the coaches rankings. Is A&M ranked in the USA Today poll?
I don't know. What I see, they aren't ranked at all.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, that affects everybody.
Here's why, Joe. If I could offer a limited opinion, I think the Miami game scared the pollsters, and now they're hesitant because of what wins has A&M had that make them feel good. This week is a big game. It's a win over Alabama.
Well,
and those, but
well,
I think
Paul,
Auburn and Arkansas are not impressing the pollsters. That's just an observation.
Yeah, well, isn't that kind of an insult to everybody that they've played, Auburn, Arkansas? I mean, Sure. Those are pretty good football teams. Yeah. Auburn played Georgia pretty close.
Well, no, I agree with you, but I think there's some debate on how good they are.
Well, obviously there are, but I mean, even LSU, I mean, it's not a question of whether they impress the pollsters. It's whether
A&M,
the pollsters.
A&M right now would be 26, 27. They'd be 28th in the polls. That's where they finished in terms of votes.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how many teams that are inside of 28.
How about LSU at 23 with two losses.
There you go. Anyway, look, I just don't know why
I look at it, could A&M beat this team? They could beat, I think they could beat Missouri, Fresno State, Louisville. I mean, they could beat a bunch of these schools, in my opinion.
I think it'd be kind of fun for A&M to win the national championship and be unranked. It would show what kind of ridiculous program we have in college football.
That won't happen because the CFP decides with a committee. But it's A&M wins Saturday. That will change very quickly. Willis is in Los Angeles. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. My concern is the Brian Kelly is fine. His record against ranked teams is pretty average. And he's going up against a fired-up home underdog this weekend.
Right.
And Notre Dame was a high-pressure shop. He didn't produce there. And why is what didn't work in South Bend going to work in Baton Rouge?
He didn't produce there. He played for the national championship and went to the playoffs two other times. That's not exactly
zero championships.
Well, I agree, but he left there to go try to win a championship at LSU. Not going to win it this year.
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do athletic directors have agents?
Yes, some do. That is a new trend.
Okay. All right. I'd like to know more about that. But thank you. You give a great show every day.
Thank you, Willis. Yeah, I mean, right now there's a group of agents that represent literally everyone. Randy? Who you represented by Jimmy Sexton?
Absolutely.
He represents Randy. Not me, though. Randy. We'll be right back. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.